Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Coming to you, coming to you from a whole new angle. I've rearranged this room that I'm sitting in, and it feels weird. Just as I was saying that, I tried to put my foot on the bar underneath my desk, knowing full well that I've just moved my computer to a different desk. And I was saying that it's different. And at the same time, I was like, why can't I find the bar with my foot? So half of my brain was acknowledging that it's different. And the other half was trying to, like, was in denial. Really weird sensation. Oh, that was weird. I've in my office here, where I record this, I've got like a reading desk, which was the computer desk, which was where the microphone is mounted and the computer that I use to record the podcast. And then behind that, like in the middle of the room, is a table, a large old dining table. I think I told you guys about this table once. It used to be floorboards in my childhood home, and now it's been built into a dining room table. And so I was kind of like, my chair sits between these two desks. So if I turn, if I pivot around, I'm facing the other desk. And if I pivot around to this way, I'm facing this desk. So it's like I'm kind of in between two. I don't even have to move my chair to go between them. But I moved the computer and the microphone to the table that's in the middle of the room rather than the one that's at the window. This is very, very boring. This is super boring. I just realized how boring this is. There was a point to that. Something New Year. It's New Year's Eve, everyone. New Year's Eve. Oh, and that means that on completion of this episode, I will have done a podcast per day for 2 years without fail. I say without fail. There has been the occasional time when the upload didn't work properly. And I did fail, but I've never failed to sit down and do a podcast. 2 years running. How crazy is that? Wow. I posted something on the A Year of War and Peace subreddit one day ago, and I'm going to read you what I posted. You might have seen it, but I wrote this. Now is the time to spread the word. The next time the topic of New Year's resolutions, etc., comes up, be sure to let people know about A Year of War and Peace. That was the heading. Today is a crucial time to promote A Year of War and Peace. Last year, around this time, I posted a reply on an Ask Reddit post about having completed A Year of War and Peace, and as a result, the subreddit grew from around 2,000 people to around 5,000 people in anticipation of the 2019 read-along. I urge you all, go forth and promote the read-along for next year, and let's get some fresh blood in this sub. One good comment can more than double the readership. Happy new decade, warriors and peacekeepers. So, same goes with the Hemingway List. That's all I'm really trying to say is, you know, get out there and promote it. And if you are actually, it's probably better to promote A Year of War and Peace. The Hemingway List sort of seems like a flow-on, but if someone's new to this whole concept, I would probably point them towards doing A Year of War and Peace. And then if they want more, they can jump into something like this. But it's all one big community, really, when you think about it, isn't it? Even though it's spread across multiple subreddits, it's all one big thing, the daily read-along community of Reddit. Go ahead, promote it. Make it your New Year's, I'm not going to say New Year's resolution, but in the topic of New Year's resolutions, mention that last year you committed to doing a daily read-along and 1 year later you've actually made it out the other end. Hey, by the way, on that note, congratulations. If you've been with us for a whole year or even 2 years, if you did Year of War and Peace last year, well done. It's pretty bloody awesome. Anna Karenina, Part 6, Chapter 4. Classic bit of Tolstoy with the nature details during a pivotal scene. What's your favorite nature details during a pivotal scene from Tolstoy? There's a lot to choose from. JMama8779 said, tough one, but I think my absolute favorite was the War and Peace one where Nikolai and Sonya were riding in the cart on a winter's moonlit night. Ah, yeah, that was a good one. That was a really good one. Skimming through the night on that sled thing, that cart. And I remember that feeling of just bliss, of feeling so alive in that cold winter air on that starry night. Yeah, that's a really good one. Well done. It's so hard to choose. Oh, there's some great ones in War and Peace. I think my favorite one would be... probably Prince Andrei when he gets wounded on the battlefield, and he stares at the clouds. He watches the clouds drift over himself whilst sort of lying on his back in a battlefield, and he's just kind of peacefully watching the clouds overhead while people are still fighting and dying all around him. That was a good bit of nature during a pivotal moment. A good Tolstoy one. Also, I mean, I think the biggest one is the Pierre when he's having... I won't say it because it's a bit too much of a spoiler, but he realizes... He kind of realizes who he's in love with. He has an epiphany about love. And as if to punctuate that epiphany, the night sky explodes above him with the great comet of 1812 going over his head. Really beautiful. That's the big one, isn't it? Like, that's the almost like one of the crescendo points, the apex points of that novel. Beautiful bit of writing. I Am Norwegian said, Varenka really does fit Sergei's image. She's upper class, but not that self indulgent sort of high society, petite bourgeois, which would reflect poorly on Sergei's progressive ideas. I also liked how they compared their religious outlooks, where Kitty is a bit like a child. I wonder why he'd prefer a religious woman over an atheist, though, as I'm pretty sure Sergei is even more atheistic than Levin. I'd like to change my answer on the are they getting married question to a yes. I reckon they probably are, but he's still got to pop the question. Swim said the Mama Fishy said, it's the telling details that Tolstoy throws in, a throwaway line, if you will, that can change a mind, at least mine. While Koznishev is musing she would be indebted to her husband for everything, which was what he had always desired in a future family life, maybe Varenka would not be better off marrying. I would not like to be married to a man who thought he had done me a favor by marrying me. Simply Productive said, who called it, Swim? Honestly, I'm just glad that the Christmas bit is over and I can read some more. I finished my annual Hobbit Lord Extended Marathon over the weekend. Did you watch the movies? I'm going to guess you watched the movies over a weekend. You didn't read all those books. But what a great thing to do. I've been wanting to do a Lord of the Rings rewatch for, I'm going to say 5 years at least. Over the weekend and in the background decided to redouble my efforts on commenting more regularly here. Simply Productive. You comment here all the time, but I welcome that. Yeah, please. I hope you'll, in the new year, be just as active, if not more active, and get into the conversations. You know, that's one thing I should probably try to do too, is I participate in the conversation by reading the comment and responding to it and conversing with you that way. But I very rarely actually write a comment on the subreddit. And I don't know, I wonder, maybe I should drop a comment here and there more often. I think this marriage seems a bit rushed, says Simply Productive. Anyone else think that? Maybe she'll say no. That had not occurred to me. Is it rushed? I don't know. Tolstoy's can sometimes feel like that he jumps around in time a little bit. And so I think I was just kind of... automatically assumed that there'd been more happening between these two in the background leading up to this, and it wasn't rushed. It just seems like it happened out of nowhere because the rest happened behind the scenes. But yeah, maybe you're right. Another thing I should mention, this is just going back to the Year of War and Peace one. I put my hand up to be a moderator of a Year of War and Peace for next year. I really want to see that community continue to grow and to do what it does, you know, not necessarily even to grow, just to continue doing what it does more than anything, because it's just so good. It's just such an awesome place to be. And I'm probably not going to read War and Peace again, starting tomorrow. I'm probably not going to do that. But I would like to be more active in that subreddit. So I've put my hand up to be a moderator. I'm going to moderate the first week of discussion posts over there. Just because, well, I don't know, I want to set, there's going to be a whole lot of new moderators there, and I want to help to sort of set the template of how they should do the daily discussions, only because I've got a bit of experience doing it, and I'll model it on the same template we use here, I think, is probably the way to go. Discussion prompts, the final line, probably link to the podcast. Yeah. Anyway, that's what's news. What else is news? I feel like we're on such a pivotal point, you know, because it's all timed to a year, and tomorrow is the start of the new year. I feel like we've left it too late to sort of get new blood in. Maybe during December we should have been out there trying to recruit some new War and Peace people. Doesn't matter though. I'm sure it'll all go awesomely. We should probably read. Let's read. Let's do some reading. Okay, now I need to reposition myself here on my new desk setup. Sorry, this podcast has been very dry and slow. It's kind of such a weird way to finish off the year with just like a rambling, half asleep podcast. But whatever, you know, that's what we do here. Chapter 5. Mademoiselle Varenka. When very young, I formed my ideal of the woman I should love and whom I should be. Oh, wait. This is Kovnishev doing his thing. Holy crap. Okay, so he's went toward her with resolute steps. That was the end of the previous chapter. Mademoiselle Varenka. I'm going to say this like I'm actually a man popping the question. Mademoiselle Varenka. When very young, I formed my ideal of the woman I should love and whom I should be happy to call my wife. I've lived many years, and now, in you, for the first time, I have met what I was in search of. I love you and offer you my hand. This was what Kozdyshev said to himself when he was already within 10 steps of Varenka. Good one, Tolstoy. You bamboozled me. Kneeling and with one stretched... Oh, I'm so bamboozled. I can't believe he just did that to me. I just fully recited that as if I was saying it. And then he's like, that's what he said. In his head, you idiot. Got me. Kneeling and with outstretched arms, defending some mushrooms from Grisha, she was calling little Masha. Come along, little ones. There are a lot here. She cried in her delightful, mellow voice. On seeing Kozhnishev approaching, she did not move, yet everything told him that she felt his approach and was glad of it. Well, have you found anything? She asked from beneath her white kerchief, turning her handsome face toward him with a gentle smile. Not one, said Kozhnishev. And you? She did not reply, being busy with the children who surrounded her. There's another, near the branch, she said, pointing to a small mushroom cut across its firm pinkish crown by a dry blade of grass. from beneath which it had sprung up. Varenka rose when Masha had picked the mushroom, breaking it into two white pieces. "It reminds me of my childhood," she added, moving away from the children with Koznishev. They went a few paces in silence. Varenka saw that he wanted to speak, and guessing the subject, she grew faint with joy and fear. They had gone far enough when not to be overheard, but he still had not begun. It would have been better for Varenka to remain silent. It would have been easier after a silence to say what they wished to say than after talking about the mushrooms. Yet against her will, and as if by accident, she said, "So you have not found anything, but of course deep in the wood there are always fewer." Koznishev sighed and did not speak. He was vexed that she had spoken about mushrooms. He wished to bring her back to her first remark about her childhood, but without wishing to, after a pause, he replied to her last words. "I've only heard that the white boletti grow chiefly on the outskirts, but I can't even tell which are the white ones." A few more minutes passed. They had gone still further from the children and were quite alone. Varenka's heart beat so that she seemed to hear it, and she felt herself growing red, and then pale, and red again. To be the wife of a man like Koznishev, after her difficult life with Madame Stahl, seemed to her the height of bliss. Besides, she was almost sure she loved him, and now, in a moment, it must be decided. She was frightened of what he might or might not say. He must make his declaration now or never. Koznishev also felt this. Everything, Varenka's look, her blush, her downcast eyes, betrayed painful expectation. He saw it and was sorry for her. He even felt that to say nothing would be to offend her. His mind went rapidly over all the arguments in favour of his decision. He repeated to himself the words with which he had intended to propose, but instead of those words, some unexpected thought caused him to say, "What difference is there between the white boletti and the birch tree variety?" Varenka's lips trembled with emotion when she replied, "There is hardly any difference in the tops, but only in the stems." And as soon as those words were spoken, both he and she understood that all was over, and that what ought to have been said would not be said, and their excitement, having reached its climax, began to subside. "The stem of the birch tree boletus reminds one of a dark man's beard, 2 days old," remarked Koznishev calmly. "Yes, that's true," answered Varenka with a smile, and involuntarily the direction of their stroll changed. They began to return to the children. Varenka felt pained and alarmed, and ashamed, but at the same time she experienced a sense of relief. Koznishev, when he got home and went again over all his reasons, came to the conclusion that at first he had judged wrongly. He could not be unfaithful to Marie's memory. "Gently, gently, children," shouted Levin, almost angrily, stepping in front of his wife to shield her, when the crowd of children came rushing at them with shrieks of delight. Behind the children, Koznishev and Varenka came out of the wood. Kitty had no need to question Varenka. From the calm and rather shamefaced look on both faces, she knew that her plan had not been realized. "Well," inquired her husband on their way home. "Won't bite," answered Kitty with a smile and manner of speaking like her father, which Levin often observed in her with pleasure. "Won't bite? How do you mean?" "Like this," she said, taking her husband's hand, raising it to her mouth and slightly touching it with her closed lips, as one kisses the bishop's hand. "Who won't bite?" said he, laughing. "Neither. And it should have been like this. Mind, here are some peasants coming. They didn't see." All right, there we go. Another chapter down. Another year down. The decade is over. The 20s are upon us. Welcome to the 20s. Let me be the first. Probably not the first, but let me at least join the chorus of people welcoming you to the 20s. It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good decade. I can feel it. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks for listening all year and hanging out with me every single night. I consider you all to be actual friends, and I feel genuine love and warmth towards you all. So I do really thank you for making this year a good year. What more can I say? Thanks. Happy New Year. I will see you tomorrow. I'll see you next year. That's when I'll see you. Happy New Year. Cheers.